Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
The Holy Spirit, He really does want you to live different. And the way you live different, you have to find that place of living in God's love. That's living different. When you find that safe place of living in God's love. Now, a lot of people will say the safest place that you can be is in God's will. I'm not so sure I agree with that, because sometimes God calls you to do some very dangerous things. In fact, sometimes He calls you to be in very uncomfortable situations. He calls you to do things that can be a real stretch and a real challenge. See, being in God's will doesn't mean that you're in a cocoon, that everything's perfect and you'll always be safe, everything's fine. Yeah, you're safe in that God's with you, and you're safe that you will be with Him no matter what. So if you want to live different, you've got to find that place where you live in God's love. Jesus said the thief's purpose, talking about Satan, is to steal and kill and destroy. Satan is always looking to steal and to kill and destroy the image of God in you. He wants to destroy the image of God in you. You want to know why we are having such an identity crisis in our country when it comes to sexual identity? It's because Satan is trying to destroy the image of God in those individuals who God's created them to be. And Jesus says, and this is really what I like to focus on in that verse, is not so much what Satan does, because Satan really can't touch me unless God gives him permission to do it. I like what Jesus said after that. He said, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Well, let's go ahead and just get it out of the way. He's not talking about money. He's talking about a rich, a fulfilling, a full life. Your life has meaning, your life has purpose, that when it's all said and done, you can look back and say, wow, that was a great life. When you're on your way to heaven, you can look back and say, wow, what a journey. That was amazing. That's how Jesus wants you to feel about your life. And the only way you're ever going to feel that way is when you are willing to abandon yourself into the Holy Spirit. When you are willing to live different, when you're willing to live in God's love, when you're willing to get out of your comfort zone, when you're willing to live by Jesus' purposes. And I want to tell you, the only purpose that is rich and satisfying is connected to eternity. Everything that's temporary has a shelf life to it, and it is temporarily satisfying. It just does not last. And if you think having one more thing is going to satisfy you ultimately, just look at the past track record of your life. Has it worked for you in the past? I mean, how foolish is it that we continue to do the same thing in order to find fulfillment and happiness? And we do things and it satisfies temporarily, and then ultimately the happiness is gone, the fulfillment's gone. But we think if we do it again with a little more gusto, maybe it'll work then. I mean, it's just not satisfying. What the world has to offer is just not satisfying. It's never enough. It's never complete. It always comes up short. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life so that when you look back over your life as you're stepping into eternity, that you're able to say, now that was worth it. That was an amazing journey. That was so cool. That was so satisfying. I did not waste my life. So my question to you is, what would your life look like if you truly lived a Christ-centered life? What would it really look like? A Christ-centered life. Jesus on the throne of your life. You yielding your rights to Jesus. Your interest directed by Jesus, resulting in harmony with God's plan and purpose for your life. What would your life be like? What would your life be like in light of eternity? I want to tell you, when you put that in the equation, it changes the lenses through which you look at your life. When you think of your life in light of eternity, it changes the lenses as to how you look at your life. You look differently. You look at it differently. You evaluate things differently. You see things that are temporary, that don't last, that don't matter. And you look at the things that do matter, the things that make a difference, the things that last for eternity. I mean, you're going to spend eternity with God, and this life, what are some of the descriptions that the Bible uses for this life? A vapor kind of comes and goes. A flower, it's pretty, but it fades and dies pretty quick. And, you know, my mom was born on Valentine's Day, so naturally, I had to get her 2 dozen roses for Valentine's Day. And I always would call her later, and she said, well, my flowers are beautiful. They lasted for about 3 or 4 days. I'm sitting there going, wow, they sure do fade and die away quickly. I got to think of something else, something that's going to matter, something that's going to last. And the Bible says that your life is a vapor, a flower. It describes it as a cloud that's constantly changing, and a cloud that's there and then a cloud that's gone. So if you look at your life not in light of eternity, you might as well think in terms of a vapor. But if you look at your life in light of eternity, that changes everything. It changes everything about your life. It changes how you look at your life and what you focus on. So if you want to walk in the Holy Spirit and you want to live a Christ-directed life, it's going to be different. It's going to be satisfying. It's going to be rich. It's going to have an eternal perspective. The lives that you touch and change for the gospel of Jesus Christ last for eternity. Two of our young men, they grew up in Gateway. Their families are in Gateway. I've known these guys since they were young, and I love these guys, and I just love hanging out with them. I love spending time with them. One just finished college at USC in December and is heading to medical school at MUSC in the fall. The other one is in college now and has taken a break from school. And they're both serving the Lord. They're at school, they've gotten involved in churches downtown. And one of them's been very involved in a church that we helped start, Midtown Church. And The other one is involved in worship band. He actually just was on the guitar down here at the end of the stage, and he plays in several churches and has been involved in. He's just known in the music circles of churches, and they both seek to serve the Lord. And so they're going to come and join me on the stage because they are doing exactly what we're talking about today. So if you would, welcome Luke Robinson and David Gerkink as they come and join us on the stage. These guys, I really love these guys, and I can't talk enough about them. And, you know, when I first met them, I was kind of like, oh, no, you know, what's this going to be like? And but I got to watch them over the years just grow deeper and deeper and deeper in their love for Jesus. And they truly are doing what we're talking about, living a life that's Christ-centered and living a life that's eternally focused. So these two guys, here's David. He's got, you know, several months before he heads to med school, and you would think he would, you know, a lot of people, they'll just go to Europe and travel Europe for a month or two, or they'll just go have fun and relax, but no, they're going to do something very, very different. Luke's actually taking time off from school, and they're heading to Mozambique, and they're going to spend the next anywhere from 2 to 4 months over there letting God use them. Last spring break for South Carolina, usually when guys have spring break, they're thinking about going to the beach and going to a bunch of parties. These two guys with a bunch of other guys went on a prayer retreat with me. You think about that. College, spring break. Oh, yeah, I want to go on a prayer retreat with my pastor. You know, I want to go be with an old guy. Well, that's what they did, and we had a prayer retreat. It was amazing. It was awesome, and these two guys are truly living this out where they're living out Jesus giving them a life that's rich and satisfying. So let's just talk about what is God leading you to do. So, David, just tell us where you guys are heading and what you're doing.
Yeah, so hey, guys. So we're leaving just less than 2 weeks now. We're flying out to Mozambique.
You're leaving on Valentine's Day. How romantic.
Taking a romantic getaway. So, yeah, we're heading out to Mozambique. We're going to be staying in a remote fishing village kind of on the northern coast, right on the Indian Ocean. We're going to be working with some missionaries who've been there about 5 years now, and they are really involved in, like, discipleship in this community. It's a very, I would say, pagan community, not very many Christians at all. And so the little Christians that are there, the missionaries are working on discipling them, bringing them up, trying to start a couple of churches in this area. But they're also like a, you know, this family. They have three kids, and his wife is actually pregnant. She'll be having another child soon. So they just don't have a lot of time to go out and evangelize. It's very time-consuming. So that's where me and Luke come in. So our main focus is going to be with the local fishermen there. So we're literally going to be fishing for men. That's awesome. We're going to be...
You're fishing with men to fish for men.
Exactly.
Hey, that's pretty good.
So that's just going to look like trying to build relationships with them. So it's really cool since we're going for anywhere from 2 to 4 months. It's not just a one-week thing. Like, we can actually kind of immerse ourselves into that culture and really build relationships. So, you know, we're not going there with all these specific plans. We're kind of just letting God take the reins. And so we're just going to try and spend time with them, go fishing with them, helping, you know, repair their boats, repair their nets, just using that as a venue for God to provide us, you know, ways to speak in them and speak the gospel to them.
It's kind of like Paul making tents in order to meet people and build relationships with people. So, Luke, how in the world did God tell you that this is what you're supposed to be doing?
Well, I think it was almost exactly a year ago. I was meeting with a former mentor of mine who knows me really well, and I really trust him a lot and look up to him. And I asked him how he could see the Lord using my life, because from my point of view, I always thought, like, oh, well, I'll do worship or something, or I'll, you know, do youth or something like that. And he said something that really caught me off guard. He said, like, Luke, I could actually see you going overseas and doing missions. And I kind of said, like, you're crazy, you know? I'm wearing skinny jeans and I have long hair. Like, I'm not going to Africa. That's crazy. But I started praying about that and opening up, because I definitely realized that there was a lot of selfish ambition built up in me, and that I wanted to live my life for me and not live my life for Christ. So God literally called that out in me and said, like, look, you have selfish ambition here, and he pointed it out. And so I started praying, well, if I'm truly going to live my life for you, then I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. So I began to pray that if the mission field is something he does want me to be involved in, that he would provide an opportunity or open that door. And so I prayed that fairly diligently for about a year, and nothing really had come up. I wasn't, like, seeking it out. I was like, oh, if this is something God wants, he'll bring it along. And so after praying that for a year, one of my good friends, David, came up to me and he goes, hey, you want to come to Mozambique for 4 months to work with full-time missionaries? And I was kind of blown away, because he had no clue that I was thinking about getting into the mission field or getting involved in it. And it was a total God move, and it was crazy. And I tried to deny it at first, like, no, you know, I can't start off with 4 months in Africa. That's insane. But God, like, he's called me to it, and I'm really excited about it. Definitely realizing that I can't be relying on my own strength, because this is definitely getting out of my comfort zone. So faith crash course, as Don said. So it's going to be really exciting, though.
It is going to be exciting. Now, we've talked about you going for 2 to 4 months. Explain a little bit about why that's not so definitive.
Right, so we applied for a 180-day visa, and so we just found out this past week that, like, we were accepted for a 180-day visa, but it's like a 30-day renewal process, and that's kind of up to the local government there. Like, they kind of interpret that as they will. So we're going there. We don't really know how long we're going to be there. It could be 1 month. We think it's going to be longer, but anywhere from 1 to 4 months. So we initially, like, planned this trip hoping to go for 4 months, but really, it's just another step where God's kind of taking the reins and saying, okay, I'm going to put you there for as long as I want you there. And we just kind of have to believe in that.
Yeah. So they could just make you leave the country for a couple of days and then come back, and then they would renew it. So you just don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a step of faith for you guys. But the goal would be to stay there for, 4 months.
Right.
And so we need to be praying for them, that God will speak to the heart of whoever official he has to speak to, and allow them just to be able to stay and not have to leave and come back and leave and come back, because that gets very, very expensive to cross the border into another country and spend the night there and come back. And in fact, how much is this trip costing you?
I believe it's $7,500 each.
$7,500 each. Wow, that's a lot of money. And you're having to raise that. Now, Gateway, through our mission team, is paying for your airfare, right? And we got your first class tickets, right?
Yeah.
No, we didn't do that. So Gateway, you, through your missions offering, have provided for their airfare. So we're blessing them that way. But they still have a lot of money to raise. And in fact, there's a prayer letter in your bulletins today. I hope you will take that and pray for them. And after the service, they're going to be in the foyer. If you want to just speak to them and talk to them, be sure to do that. So let's talk a little bit more about just the why behind this. Why do you think God's calling you to do this, David? Because, I mean, you're going to med school. Why not just relax, chill out, and have fun? So what's God doing in your life?
Yeah, so about 3 years ago, my freshman year, actually, you know, wanted to become a physician forever, since I can remember. So I started college at USC, pursuing that. I actually had dinner with Don one day. He just took me out, asked me how I was doing. And, you know, he was talking about this, like, eternal perspective, you know, what that actually means, giving your life for Christ and, like, letting, you know, the Holy Spirit take reign over everything and what that actually looks like. And he shared for me how, like, he was called into ministry and how he wanted to become an Air Force pilot, and how God turned that down and told him he was going to go to ministry. And he had to make a choice. He had to say, yes, I'm going to continue and I'm going to pursue ministry over the Air Force. I was kind of, that was a really awesome conversation for me, and it really hit me hard. And actually, on the way home, I was driving, and the Lord just revealed to me that I was going to go into missions one day. I mean, in a very direct way. He just blatantly told me that, and at first I was so scared. Like, I was like, no, I've heard of friends who have wanting to go to medical school, and God called them in the mission field. Actually, the missionaries that we're staying with, that happened to him. He got accepted in medical school, went on a mission trip, deferred for a year, and then ended up just never going back. And so I was so scared. I was like, God, like, I've been pursuing medical school my entire life, and, you know, I don't want you to take this away from me. So I prayed about it a lot. And I think God's actually still calling me into the medical field, so continue to pursue that. And hopefully, you know, I think he's going to use me in medical missions full-time one day. No idea what that's going to look like. But that's kind of what this trip is, just getting my feet wet. So I pursued this opportunity. Brian Harold used to go to Gateway a long time ago, and he's been in Mozambique for, I don't know, 15 years. And I actually met with him last year in the spring and told him that I was graduating a semester early and had some free time, and I wanted to go and do something in the mission field. And he kind of put me in contact with this other missionary family, and we've just been working things out since. So it's been really cool to see that progress and what it's come to now.
Yeah, I want you to hear what David said, because that's really cool and significant. I've used the illustration before that the rudder of a boat's of no value unless the boat's moving. And so David didn't just sit and wait for God to send him, you know, a special delivery letter. Here's what I want you to do. He went out pursuing, and so he kept his life moving forward, and the Holy Spirit directed his path and turned him in certain directions, and one of those was to sit and talk with Brian from Gateway, and who's on the medical mission field, and so it began a chain of reaction and opened up other doors. And so now here David and Luke are going to Mozambique. And it's really cool how the vision and passion in one person carried over to another person. And mainly because you just didn't want to be by yourself. But anyway, you know, their hearts have been knitted together, and they love each other, they care about each other. And so it was just so cool that they wanted to experience this together. And they have been working hard to get ready. When we send people out, you know, even for a week-long mission, there's a lot of training we go through. But for going for as long as they're going, there's a lot of extra training. And Judy Davis, who heads up our mission team, does a great job. They've been meeting with her for hours, going through everything, so that as things come up and as things happen, they're going to be able to say, oh, yeah, we talked about this. This is not a surprise, or this is, you know, we were told that this would happen or could possibly happen. So Gateway's been preparing them for this, and I'm thankful, but our work has not stopped. You know, our work is to support them, to help meet their needs, but to also be their prayer partners. And but Luke, I want to ask you to talk a little bit about the people that are there. What do they believe? What's this culture you're going to?
The main beliefs are, it's kind of a blend between Islam and animism.
And so what's animism?
Animism believes, like, God is in this object, or he's in this tree, you know, kind of like Pocahontas, the tree.
Yeah, oh yeah,
sorry.
There you go.
but yeah, they, yeah.
So they also are pretty strong in witch doctors. And how do witch doctors play in that?
If you need, like, fish, you know, if you're going fishing and you're hoping for a plentiful harvest, if you will, they'll go to the witch doctor and say, like, hey, can I get a trinket or something to help me fish? Or my baby's sick, like, what can you do to help them? You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. And so you're going to be working in the fishing culture, which is huge there. And you'll be out in the boats, and these are sailboats, right? And so you're sailing out in the Indian Ocean, I believe it is. And it's net fishing pretty much. So you're just volunteering to go and help these guys. And that's going to be really cool. And they all speak Southern English, right?
No. So they have, like, a local language that they all speak. And then the more educated ones, a lot of the men want to be, like, well-distinguished in society. They'll learn Portuguese. So that's what Luke and I are currently trying to learn, Portuguese, another crash course we're taking. But, yeah, so we've been kind of doing a little work on that now. And then we get there for the first month. We're doing, like, a very intense language immersion course. We're actually going to have, a tutor come tutor us, like, I don't know, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. So it's going to be pretty intense.
But, wow.
Hopefully, you know, that'll allow us to be able to communicate with people. And we're hoping that by the time we leave, we can at least have conversations with people, start sharing the gospel with them.
So this is a cool way we can pray as a church. You can pray that the Holy Spirit gives them the gift of tongues, speaking in known languages. How about that? And which is exactly what the disciples did at Pentecost. They didn't speak in languages that people couldn't understand. They were speaking in languages of all the foreigners that were there, and everybody heard the gospel in their own language. And so that was a gift of language that the Holy Spirit gave them. So one of the ways, you probably didn't think about this, is to pray that the Holy Spirit will give them the gift of language and to be able to quickly adapt to Portuguese and to be able to learn the not only the language but the lingo and the just the cultural aspect of that. So that's a pretty cool thing to pray for. How else can we pray for you guys?
Physically, we'll need physical endurance because they fish very intensely. So that's something we're gonna have to get used to. Intensely, if that's a word.
Yeah.
But spiritually, we'll need to keep ourselves spiritually strong, and emotionally, we'll have to keep that on check. And also be praying for the hearts of the people in Mwani, that they'll be open to us, because we know God's already working on their hearts now. He's going to be working on their hearts while we're there and even after we're gone. So
yeah,
that's something big.
And we want to pray for their physical protection. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about for malaria. And just the adjustment digestively, and that they will adjust to the food, and that they'll always have clean water source, because water is a big issue over there. So we can pray for that, and just pray for their health so that they can remain healthy so that God can continue to use them. So there's a lot of things we can pray for, and that is very, very important in the way we can minister to them. So I really want to thank you guys for choosing to live a Christ-centered life. And you guys, when we think about the next generation coming along, you guys give us hope for that next generation, and that there truly are young men and women who are coming along that are absolutely on fire for Jesus and are seeking to serve Jesus and live for him. And we're blessed to have these two young men that have come out of Gateway, and some of you have invested in them personally by being their life group leader or however you might have been involved in their life. And so I look up to you guys. I admire you guys. And you've grown up from being young little punks into young men of God, and I'm very thankful for you. You know how I feel about you personally, because I tell you all the time, and you know, I tell these guys, I says, you know, I love you, don't you? And they say, yeah, quit telling. I get it. So I'm gonna pray for them right now. So I want you to join me as we pray for them. And normally I'd ask you to come forward, but let me just leave them up here. And so you reach out your hearts and hands to them as I pray for them now. So let's pray.